Are you ready to have some fun tonight? We're going to have some fun this evening. We're going to talk about heaven. Now, I've got a little song. I don't know whether you're familiar with this little song or not. But if not, I'm going to try to teach it to you. It's a short one. It goes something like this. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face, because heaven is a wonderful place. How many of you know that? A few of you. Okay. Well, let's try it again. You ready? Let's all do it together. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face, because heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is a place, a real place, and we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to open with one verse of Scripture. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of it. We're not going to spend much time here. Most of our time will be in the book of Revelation, chapters 21 and 22. But we're going to take our text tonight in Psalm 46, Psalm 46 and verse number 4. If you would stand with me as we read it. Psalm 46, and verse number 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, the city of God. So there in the Old Testament, we already have the prophecy of God's city. We're going to find it mentioned several times here this evening as we look at the Scriptures. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this vision, Lord, of your city. And it's coming down from God out of heaven. Lord, we pray you'd help us tonight to visualize it, to understand it, Lord, to receive it, to glory in it and exult in it. And look forward to it, Lord. We look forward to your coming. Thank you for the blessed hope we have in Jesus Christ tonight. We thank you in the name of Jesus, and amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Heaven is a real place. You know, we're not the only people who believe there's a heaven. Even the heathen peoples have a heaven. For example, the Indians have what they called their happy hunting ground, a place where they went to when they died and where they existed after death. The Hindus have a place they call Nirvana. But most cultures have a belief in a place where they will live after death. It's a need that's been placed in us as human beings, to look forward beyond the grave, to look forward to life eternal that God has given to mankind. It's his instinct to survive and to live. You know, every need that God has given to man, he's given a fulfillment. For example, God saw that when he created Adam, that Adam had a need. So he created Eve to satisfy that need. He found man had a need for food or for hunger, to satisfy hunger. He gave him food. Man has a thirst, and so God gave him water to satisfy that thirst. Man has a desire to live, and so God has satisfied that desire with this place called heaven. We see it in the Scriptures. Turn with me, if you would, a very familiar passage to most of us, if not all of us, John 14. John 14, and let's read what he has to say there. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many. What does it say? Mansions. Now, some of the modern so-called versions Say rooms. Now, I want you to understand tonight there's a difference between a room and a mansion. God said he's got mansions in heaven. Amen? In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. So we sing the song, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Somebody else wrote a song, just build me a cabin in the corner, glory land. No, sir, I've got a mansion waiting me. Amen? How do I know? God said so. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now listen, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is not a state of mind. Heaven is a place. How do I know it's a place? God's word says so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, where is that place? It's where he is. Heaven's where he is. And we're going to be where he is. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I'm not going to keep you very long tonight, but we are going to have some fun as we look at the scriptures and what it says about heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, look with me at verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now that's called faith. God said, Abraham, I want you to go. Abraham says, where is it you want me to go? God said, I'll show you. In due time, I'll show you. You just go where I lead you. And so he did. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city. Did he ever find it? No. Where'd he live? His life, intense, as a pilgrim and as a stranger here in the earth. But he was looking for a city. One day he's going to find that city. He's going to enter it. Amen? And there's another song, Looking for a City. You ever hear that song? Well, yeah, that's it. Looking for a city. Looking for a city where we'll never die, where the saints and loved ones never say goodbye. And so on and so on. I'm not going to sing the whole song. But anyway, it's a good song. But we're looking for a city that God has for us. Chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and under the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect. The city of the living God. That's the city we're going to talk about tonight. That's heaven. Now, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21. And let's begin reading here with verse number 1. John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So in those three verses, we see New Jerusalem, the city of God, coming down out of heaven. And where's it coming down to? The earth. Leaving heaven and coming to earth. And who's coming with it? God is. He's going to live in that city with us. That's what it says. It is a real place. Verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Where? Here on the earth. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So that's the first thing we learn about this place. Now, the second thing we're going to learn is found down a little further. Look with me at verse number, let's go to verse 10. Verse 10, 21:10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So he sees, he's carried to a mountaintop, and he sees this city coming down from God out of heaven. Now he's going to describe that city for us. Let's see what he says. Verse 12, and had a wall, great and high. The first thing he sees is the walls that surround the city. And had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. You know, that's very similar to the children of Israel as they traveled in the wilderness back in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy as they were traveling through the wilderness. That's the way they camped. The center of their camp was the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle. And around the tabernacle dwelt the 12 tribes. But there were 3 on the east side, 3 on the south side, 3 on the north side, and 3 on the west side, just as these gates are. And now these gates are named for these 12 tribes of Israel. So what do we see? A city that has walls, it has gates, and the gates have names written on them. And the wall of the city, verse 14, had 12 foundations. Remember we read back in Hebrews, they sought for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here is that city. It has foundations. How many does it have? 12. Why 12? All right, one foundation for each of the 12 apostles. And each of those foundations we're going to see is adorned with precious stones. So we have a wall, we have gates, we have a foundation. Does this sound like it might be real? It sounds real to me. Now look what it says next. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city. So not only has he described it, but now he's going to measure it and tell us what size it is. And the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square. What does that mean? It's just as wide as it is long. It's not rectangular. It's not oblong. It's four square. Whatever the distance is in this direction, it's the same distance in that direction. It's a square city. The city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. 12,000 furlongs. How many know what a furlong is? About 200 yards. So that's hard to visualize. 12,000 or 24,000, it's even more than that, yards. Let's talk about miles. That'd be easier to understand. This city is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. That's the dimensions of this city. Will it be large enough to hold all of us? Huh? That's about, I don't know, it's over half the United States. This city is. The city lieth four square. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits. Now let's change the cubits to feet. It's 216 feet high. That wall that surrounds the city is 216 feet high. You know what that means? Nobody's going to scale this wall. The only people who are going to enter this city are the people that God wants in this city. 216 feet high is the wall. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, that's a precious stone, and that's what the wall consisted of, this precious stone, jasper. And the city was pure gold. Pure gold, like unto clear glass. This gold is so pure, you can see through it. We're going to walk on it. Streets of gold. Amen? I mean, right now, to us here, gold's precious. But when we get there, we're going to walk on it. I know what Peter said in Acts chapter 4 or 3, silver and gold have I none, but we're inheritors of it all. It's going to be so commonplace, we're going to walk on it. Our mansions will be made of it. Pure gold. I don't know about you, but when I read this, I get kind of excited. Won't that be something? And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. So he names all 12 of the precious stones that adorn the 12 foundations. Very specific information. Amen? And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Can you imagine a pearl the size of a gate? Somebody said, wow, what a pearl. Somebody else said, wow, what an oyster. One pearl made up one gate. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. The street is pure gold. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Let's go to chapter 22. We're going to enter inside this city now. We're inside the gate. And as we enter the gate, here's what we see. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So the first thing we notice when we enter the city is this river. Remember we read about that river back in Psalm 46, verse 4? There is a river. Here it is. The first thing we see when we enter into the city is this river. And it flows out from the throne of God. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now here's the picture. When we enter the gate of the city, the first thing we see is this river. And on either side of the river is a street. It's like a divided highway where in the center is the river. The river divides the traffic flowing in one direction from the traffic flowing in the other direction. And the river is in between the lanes of the city, of the street. And on either side of the river are trees. So we have the river in the middle, and then on the banks, each side of the river, are these trees. What kind of trees are they? The tree of life. And these trees bear fruit, 12 manner of fruit. Every month it's a different fruit. Can you imagine that? What a beautiful sight. The river of water of life. On either side, the banks are lined with these trees. And then outside of those trees are the streets, or the lanes of the street. That's the main street as we enter into the city of God. 12 manner of fruit. Apples this month, oranges next month. Lemons next month. I don't know what the 12 fruits are, but they're different kinds of fruit. We don't have any trees like that, do we? And I'll tell you what, there won't be any rotten fruit lying on the ground. Because nothing in heaven is going to decay. It's all edible. It's for the healing of the nations, the Bible tells us. Verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So we have a literal city with mansions, with streets, with foundations, with gates, with rivers, with trees, leaves, fruit. So we've talked about some of the things we'll see when we get to heaven. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes about some of the things we won't see when we get to heaven. There won't be any cemeteries. There won't be any funeral homes. There won't be any hospitals. There won't be any hearses. There won't be any ambulances. There won't be any jails. There won't be any penitentiaries. There won't be any asylums, hospitals. Criminals, crooks, thieves, robbers, murderers. There won't be any of that. Does that sound good to you? Huh? We won't have to lock our doors. In fact, there won't be any locks on our doors. Be no need of them. We don't have to provide our own security. God will provide security. There won't be any armies. Won't be any need of guns or weapons. You know, it's sounded better to me all the time. Just when I think of what won't be there. Can you think of something that won't be there that I haven't mentioned? Arguments. No, there won't be any fights? Okay. I wouldn't mind seeing a good boxing match every now and then. Pardon? No politics, no need for politics. We've got a king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No. Childbirth. All right, no. All right, no need of those lights or candles because he provides the light. In fact, he provides everything. No drugs. How about this? No tears. No sorrow. No crying. No death. No disappointment. No heartache. Pardon? No Satan. Amen. No Satan. Okay, no parting from your loved ones. You all know that song? We'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning over yonder. We'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never say goodbye up there. Won't that be good? Anything else? Animals. Okay, how about animals? Will there be animals? Okay. That's a good question. I've heard that question asked several times. One thing we know for sure, there are horses in heaven. Huh? Because when the Lord comes back and we come with him, we're coming how? Riding on white horses. That's true. That's true. He carried him into heaven. Okay. So there's some of the things we won't see in heaven. Here's what we will see. We'll see folks with a smile on their face. You know, it's hard to find that today, isn't it? You see folks driving out. You wonder, did they just eat a lemon or what's going on? It's very rare that you see somebody smile. God's people ought to smile, amen? We ought to have a song in our heart. It ought to be there all the time. What is it? I've got a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. It's a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. That's heaven, folks. What was that? I didn't hear that. What did you say? Do you know what? I think you might be wrong on that one. I think we might get preaching every day. You're backing up now. But heaven's going to be a lot of fun. Say, what are we going to do in heaven? Whatever God wants us to do. Absolutely. We're going to praise him through all eternity. And, we ought to enjoy that. In fact, that's why we're here tonight. The folks who are here tonight are here because you enjoy praising God and being with God's people. I just wonder where the rest of them are. Are they going to be happy when they get to heaven? Huh? Some of them might be disappointed. Because this is what we're going to do all the time. It's whatever pleases him. Most of what we pray for are challenges. Well, we pray for needs, and those needs won't be around anymore. But some folks say, well, you know, in heaven, we're just going to float around in space. No, 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 no. We're going to have a body. Like, just like this body, except for sin. A glorified body, like unto Jesus' glorified body. Somebody said, well, preacher, will we know each other in heaven? The Bible says we'll know even as we are known. And if you look at Scripture, for example, when Jesus was resurrected in his glorified body, was he recognizable? All right, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus took Peter and John up on the mountain, remember? He took three disciples with him up there on the mountain, and they had two saints appear in heaven, Elijah and Moses. Remember that? Did they recognize Moses and Elijah? Absolutely. Never seen them before, but they recognized them. So will we recognize one another when we get to heaven? I think the Bible's pretty plain. We will. We'll know each other. We'll be where Jesus is. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So I don't know for sure where heaven is. I've got a pretty good idea. But what I do know about heaven is it's where he is. And I don't care where it is as long as he's there. Amen? Heaven is going to be here on earth. Who will not be here? Unregenerate man will not be here. If you're not saved, you won't be here. Where will the unsaved be? In hell. And so the gates of the city, the Bible tells us, will never be closed. No need to close them. Because the only people who exist are those who've been saved. Jerusalem is to be the site where God has chosen to live and set up residence. The question then becomes, well, let me ask you this question. We've talked about heaven. Do you have a question about heaven that we haven't answered? Anybody have one? No. No, there won't be anybody here other than saved people. But saved people will be able to travel in and out of the city. That's why we have gates. You're able to enter and leave. Does that make sense? Well, if I leave Phoenix Is there more outside of Phoenix? Okay. So when I leave the city of God, does that mean that God's creation has ended? No, because there's a new earth. Not just a new Jerusalem, but there's a new earth, which is God's creation. It will be like the garden. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. It'll be the restitution of all things, he said, which means everything will be restored like it was before the fall. There'll be no sin. There'll be no crime. There'll be nothing but saved people populating the earth at that point in time. Oh, no, this is after the 1,000 years. This is after the great white throne judgment and the dead are cast into the lake of fire. This is after that. Yeah. Yeah, but the New Jerusalem doesn't come down until after the great white throne judgment. Then the New Jerusalem comes down. There won't be any of that in heaven. We won't be marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. Will we know each other in heaven? Yes. Will we love each other in heaven? Yes. Will there be marriage? No. No. No need for it. Yep. Anybody else? Will we be alive when?
If we're alive, when the rapture and the rapture,
when the rapture comes, will we go up? Yes. When the rapture comes, which could happen when? There's no prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the rapture takes place. None. That means it could happen right now. What happens at the rapture? The graves open. The dead in Christ come out of the graves and move up into the air. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what takes place at the rapture. Now the rapture takes place. And then what happens here on the earth? Tribulation. And tribulation lasts how long? No, 7 years. 7 years tribulation. And that's when God's judging the nation, judging Israel, right? At the end of the tribulation, Jesus comes. The Antichrist is defeated. Jesus sets up his throne and rules and reigns here on the earth for 1,000 years. That's the millennial reign of Christ. Okay? At the end of the millennial reign is the great white throne judgment. Yes. Yes. Will people be saved during the trip? Yes. Yes. Anybody else have a question? Okay. Are you excited about heaven? I hope so. I am. I would say with John, even so what? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Kind of like that. If you read the last few verses in Revelation 22, the Lord says, behold, I come quickly. What does that mean, quickly? It means what? Suddenly. Suddenly. He's going to come when you least expect him to come. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Behold, I come quickly. But this is why I have a King James Bible. If you read some of these other Bibles, what it says in Revelation 22 is, behold, I come soon. 3 times he said, I come soon. Now, when was that written? Two thousand years ago. So my question is, has he come soon? Well, now, that's the argument they want to use, but when John wrote that, or when God wrote that, who did he write that to? You and me. Right? So if he wrote that to you and me, is he coming soon? No. No, 2,000 years is a long time. But he is coming quickly. Quickly. Words are important. Words are important. That's why we have a Bible. Amen? Any other questions? Thank you then for your time. And I hope that I've maybe shed a little light on what heaven is going to be like.